Good morning, Midland First. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Africa, and as the lead pastor here, and on behalf of all who are helping to lead worship today, I want to welcome you, whether you are in our sanctuary, whether you're joining us on our live stream, listening on the radio, or later in the week on MCTV. We're grateful for this opportunity to worship together our living God. As we begin, I wish to highlight a few announcements about ways to be connected with the life of the church and the ministries as we help one another and help people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ here at First United Methodist Church. For our first announcement, I want to highlight a kids' mentoring program that our church participates in. And I'm going to do so by handing things off to Steve Morgenstern. Steve?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Good morning, everybody. As many of you saw on the slides this morning, there's a mentoring program that the church has called Kids Hope. It actually goes back to what Jeremy talked about last week, and that is being a good neighbor. We're using our neighborhood school, Central Park, and we're helping mentor our neighborhood kids at that school. If you have questions about it, Hillary's the one to ask. There's multiple reasons to do this. One, the neighborhood kids we talked about, but there's a couple of verses I'd like to read as well. Psalm 127:3. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from God. And then Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go. Even when they are old, they will not turn from it. So those are reasons we should do this, but I have just one more I'd like to add to it. It's just fun. You get to spend an hour with an elementary school kid. You have lunch. You talk about unbelievably different things. You never know where it's going to go. It's very entertaining. And then after lunch, you do whatever you and your mentee decide to do. I have played Legos. I've played catch. I've done some reading. We've played games, all of those things. You just figure out what you and your mentee like to do, and you just spend an hour with them. It really is a fun time. There's not much training necessary, but what there is, Hillary will help you do. So thank you, Hillary, for leading on this. Any other questions you can ask me or Hillary? Happy to talk to you more about that further. Thanks, Pastor Jeremy.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you highlighting Kids Hope. If you are feeling called to that ministry to make a difference in a child's life, again, invite you to talk to Steve or to Hillary regarding this mentoring program that our church is blessed to be a part of. Another announcement I wish to highlight for you is one that you can see with your very own eyes. If you'll look to your right, your left, you'll see it along the sides of our sanctuary here, and we'll notice perhaps that the upgrade to our church's sound system here in the sanctuary has begun. It's been underway for several weeks. If you're hearing a difference, just hold on, because we're not yet using those speakers. That'll be in the coming weeks. But wanted to bring attention to the fact that this project is underway, one that has been planned for several months now. The estimate for this project is $95,000, and with just over $75,000 given through our memorial fund and also the general fund coming from the facilities team budget, the plan is to cover the remainder of the balance with funds from the general fund and also designated gifts towards the project. And so if you're wishing at this time to designate a gift to the upgrade of the sound system, you may place your gift in the offering plates or bring them into the church office or mail them into the church office. You can do so by placing sound system in the memo line of the check. Certainly, if you have any questions regarding the upgrade, we invite you to ask John Horton, who serves as our facilities team leader. As with all the ways that you continue to provide generously for the mission and ongoing ministries of the church, we thank you for your generous support. With all this, invite you to see the other announcements in our e-blast. That's our weekly email that you'll receive from the church office. If you aren't yet receiving those, I invite you to contact us. Let us know. We'd be happy to join you, include you in those emails out to the congregation. But with all this, Meredith will gather us back together this morning after a very brief time of greeting. So I invite you to stand and to greet one another as we begin our worship. I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us for our opening hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. You'll find it on page 62 of our hymnal or on the screen in front of you. We'll be singing verses 1 through 3 and then verse 5.
Thank you. Please remain standing and join me in the call to worship. Take courage, all who love God. Even a cup of cold water matters to Him, the Almighty. Let us do away with sin completely. Give ourselves over to God and allow His mercy to create in us clean hearts and renew right spirits within us all. May God Most High, who sees the smallest details, show us how to love as He has loved us first. You may be seated.
Except for the children, could you join me, please? Good morning. It is just wonderful to see all of you here today. Today's lesson is about sharing God's love. We've already heard a little bit about that in church today. How many people can love Jesus? Everyone, no limit. Who can serve Jesus? Everyone. Who has shared God's love with others? Raise your hand if you've shared God's love with others. Yes, and this includes the congregation. We can help everyone know about Jesus and God's love. Everyone can share God's love. We are Team Jesus. Who is on God's team? Well, we are. Not sure about everyone, but we are. And what do we do when we're on God's team? Praise Him? Worship Him? Love Him? Help people like Jesus did? We are going to say a prayer that has a refrain. I'm going to stop at every line of the prayer, and I would like everyone in the sanctuary, especially you guys, you're the leaders, to reply, "We can do it." Okay, let's just practice once. We can do it. Okay. Oh, loving God.
We can do it.
Excellent. Even though we are young, even though we are still learning how to follow you,
we can do it.
We can stomp out our stumbling blocks.
We can do it.
We can stay salty.
We can do it.
We can live at peace with one another.
We can do it.
We can help the little ones to grow in faith. We can share your love with everyone.
We can do it.
Amen. We can go to Sunday school.
I know it might seem self-serving to say so, but it never gets old to see our children in worship. And so glad that we continue to have time and space to see our children and to hear our children. At this time, I'd like to invite forward Reverend Mike Luce and his wife Janet, that we might honor Pastor Mike for his ministry among us. Pastor Mike served as our member care liaison here at Midland First for nearly the past 4 years, and we're happy to celebrate your ministry among us, Pastor Mike. And helping us with this is Chris Goralski and Beth Hyde, who serve as our member care team leaders.
Good morning, everybody. Reverend Mike Luce has served as our lay visitation pastor for the last 4 years. We are thankful for his care of our senior members who are homebound or in a senior care facility. He's developed relationships with individuals and supported them in both good times and trying times. Pastor Mike has organized and recruited lay visitors who visit monthly with our seniors, and he's provided training opportunities to equip these volunteers for lay service. Additionally, Reverend Mike has served our congregation through preaching, serving communion, leading funeral services, doing hospital visitation, and so much more. We're thankful for all you've done, Pastor Mike, and Janet, we thank you too for your support in all of his ministries.
During his ministry at Midland First, Reverend Mike did a great deal to expand the visitation ministry, reaching out to both members and non-members in senior and assisted living facilities. He expanded this outreach to include Colonial Villa, Independence Village, Washington Woods, Ivy Terrace, and Primrose Communion. This often included a time for fellowship and a celebration of Holy Communion. These meetings were usually established by working with the activities director of the given facility. With these efforts, Reverend Mike was able to increase our outreach to the elderly and homebound members of our church and the community. Thank you, Mike, and thank you again, Janet, for your support of his ministries. We would like to present you with this gift from the church.
Thank you.
Thank you again for all that you've done.
Well, thank you. A lot has been said, and what the common understanding or the common denominator is that God is good. Has anybody heard that before?
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
God is good. I've been blessed to be here. We started worshiping together, and Sue Kingsley retired, and I kept bothering Pastor Anita until they sat down and interviewed me, and I think Roger Mead was a part of that, and so eventually they hired me nearly 4 years ago. In May, I had surgery that has really nearly completely limited me as to my ability to do physical activities. So I wrote a letter of retirement, and it was accepted. But I want to make sure you understand that the encouragement and the blessing that you heard about came back to me, too. I see some faces here of people that I have visited, and the children of some of the people that I've visited that have gone on to glory. And I was really impressed by the people that I visited. They were all a blessing to me. I'm a historian too, and many of the people I visited were born before World War II. And that seems like a history that it's hard to fathom. And yet, I learned a lot from them, and I learned a lot about the faith that these people had. And the faith is generated by gifts from God. And I want to make sure that today is not about me. It's about Jesus and how he has impacted my life so that the reflection of that is upon the people that I visit. So, to God be the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Can we thank Pastor Mike once again for his ministry among us? Pastor Mike is joined today by his daughter and son-in-law, And we will have a chance to celebrate with Pastor Mike and Janet in the fellowship time. So if you wish to greet Pastor Mike and Janet, you can join us in the parlor after this service today. Thank you. Amen. As we continue in worship, we take the time for the sharing of our tithes and offerings. And as we do so, invite you to let us know of your presence here by signing the friendship pads that you will find in your pews, or also placing a comment in the comment section of our live stream on YouTube. We're hearing Pastor Mike share his testimony about his ministry, that his ministry is a reflection of what God has done in his life. It's a reminder to me and perhaps to all of us that all that we do is a living sacrifice to the one who has loved us so well. And so whether it's what we place in the offering plates this morning or how we live out our life in our witness for Jesus Christ, let us give back to God with great delight. May the ushers please come forward.
Per profetas. et unam sanctam catonicam et apostolicam ecclesiam. Sanctam Catholicam et Apostolicam Ecclesiam et unam Sanctam Catholicam et Apostolicam
Almighty God, we give you thanks for your gifts, your gift of your law and grace that allows us to live joyfully for you. Lord, we offer you our lives, we offer you our offering and our tithes, and ask your blessings upon them, that more and more may know the freedom that we experience in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. If you wish to read along in the Pew Bible, you will find this on page 42 of the New Testament. And today I'm reading from the New Living Translation. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he wasn't in our group." "Don't stop him," Jesus said. "No one who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Anyone who is not against us is for us. If anyone gives you even a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one foot than to be thrown into hell with two feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It is better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. For everyone will be tested with fire. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As a high school student, I had a blemish. A pimple, if you will. A zit, if we were to call it by its more common name out in the wild. Now this fact in and of itself hardly bears mentioning. I was not the first teenager ever to walk or be at school with a blemish, nor will I be the last to face this trial or tribulation in high school. But what makes this blemish, what makes this pimple or zit so notable is that it was the sort of perfect storm of blemishes. It was as if several blemishes that were formidable in their own right all decided to converge. And they converged on the tip of my nose. And in case you're wondering whether or not I'm guilty of embellishment here, my friend Ted, who I knew from the eighth grade, decades later still remembered this blemish. And what makes this blemish so memorable in my mind is not so much its location on my nose or the sheer enormity of its existence. Instead, what makes it stand out in my mind is that I can't remember a single classmate, friend or foe, who pointed out its obvious existence. Without a doubt, even in high school, some did so out of kindness, recognizing it must have been difficult enough to walk around with a boiling tempest on the tip of my nose. But at the same time, it's safe to assume that some of my classmates left it unsaid or left it alone out of fear, because they knew the real possibility that if they were to point out the perfect storm swirling on my nose, that I might respond in kind by pointing to that storm front on their forehead, or on their cheek, or down the back of their neck. And so for however many days or weeks it took for that storm to pass, as they always do, it went unmentioned by all of my friends and possible foes. I bring all this up today because it seems to me that that is exactly how we as Christ's followers, or how we as the church sometimes handle the presence of our debts, our trespasses, or our sins, if we are to refer to them by their more common name out in the wild. It's almost as if we have taken Jesus' remarks today in the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke about specks and planks and have taken them in a whole other direction. Because whereas Jesus is addressing the issue of hypocrisy, it seems that we have strayed from Jesus' teaching here, going to the other extreme of sometimes turning a blind eye to our human nature, or even Paul's statement that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, whether in our individual lives, perhaps in our life together as a church. We sometimes grow uncomfortable mentioning sin, addressing sin. So let me ask you, does it make you uncomfortable for us to dwell today on this topic of sin? Had you been given enough advance warning or read your e-blast on Friday, would you have been inclined to head off to Sunday school with our children this morning if you knew that this would be the topic of the sermon? Did you grow a little bit uncomfortable as we read the scripture passage this morning? I know that I did. If in your mind or in your heart you are nodding yes, know that you're not alone. There's a part of me that in doing so is right alongside you, recognizing that this topic, if not the word alone, is uncomfortable. But with all that being said, Jesus leaves no room for us to maintain the status quo or complicit silence when it comes to addressing sin in our lives or addressing sin in the world. In fact, Jesus' lessons on sin here in Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50, is the complete opposite of staying silent. Jesus' lessons for us here are unmistakably memorable. They are vivid, and at first blush, they are harsh. They are this way not because Jesus lacks compassion or understanding, but instead Jesus' lessons regarding the things that cause us to stumble or the things that cause us to fall away from God are this way because he knows. He knows that there's nothing in this world that surpasses the blessing of the abundant life that God promises. God knows of this life when we love God and when we follow God's way and wants nothing more and nothing less for each of us. It's worth mentioning that Jesus does not intend for his words here to be taken literally. When Jesus speaks of cutting off hands and feet or gouging out eyes that might cause us to sin, Jesus does not intend for us to act on these instructions in a literal way. Instead, as one scholar suggests, given the indispensable nature of our hands, feet, and eyes, this is an indication of how seriously we are to receive Jesus' lessons, Jesus' warnings about sin. A decade or so ago, when my primary focus in ministry was our youth, there was a series of books used by many of us in youth ministry entitled, Would You Rather? Any of you remember those books? Would You Rather? Thank you, Allison. Yes. Would You Rather? This was shortly before the prevailing trend of every one of us having smartphones in our pockets and the ability to connect with the world around us and play our favorite playlists on end. And so we would use these books on youth mission trips or on retreat weekends whenever there was a longer road trip involved, and we would use them to spark conversation because these books were full of simple and silly questions that would inject humor, would inject some conversation along the way. So, for example, if you flip through the book, you might find the question, would you rather be gossiped about or lied to? So let's have a little fun. Would you rather be gossiped about? Okay, a few of us. How about lied to? Some of you aren't playing along. That's all right. How about an easier one? Would you rather get shot out of a cannon or walk on a tightrope? Any cannon fodder there? Any? All right, cannon people. Tightrope. All right. Oh, this one's a tough one. Would you rather make a child cry or kick a dog? All right, no one raise a hand here. Boy, this is a lot easier with youth, I'm telling you. I'm reminded of all this by Jesus' lesson on sin, because in these lessons, Jesus seems to be asking us the same question. Would you rather cut off the hand or foot or gouge out the eye that is causing you to sin, or causing you to keep someone from growing in the faith? Or would you rather have all these while entering the unquenchable fires? Put another way, would you rather remain entangled with what is causing you to sin? Or would you rather cut yourself free from it and experience the abundant life God has for you? Yes, in the life to come, but also this life. As one Bible commentary puts it, it is often the good which is the enemy of the best. In other words, while we might do so unwittingly, we give up God's best in favor of what appears to be good. Perhaps unwittingly, we give up God's best very often for what appears to be good. So the greater question Jesus asked us is, would you rather? When put it that way, the question seems relatively simple. Yet our experiences and response at times would indicate otherwise. In considering all this, it might help to consider the following definition of sin that Susan Cottrell offers in her book, The Heart-Connected Life for Parents. In this book, she defines sin in this simple way. Sin is an illegitimate means to meet legitimate needs. Sin is an illegitimate means to meet legitimate needs. For example, our need to be connected and accepted is legitimate. In fact, we acknowledge that as a community through our neighboring week this past week. It's a legitimate need. However, being the best source of neighborly gossip to meet this need is illegitimate, and it is sin. Or our need to be valued and respected at work, in the office, that is legitimate. Everyone wants to be acknowledged for their worth. But securing this need by demeaning others to make us look better is illegitimate. Our need to worship is legitimate. That's why we gather together on Sundays. That's why we take time during the week in our own way to worship our living God. That need is legitimate. But satisfying this need by worshiping anyone or anything other than God is illegitimate. And it is sin. Sin is an illegitimate means to meet legitimate needs. So in the coming week, with Jesus' lessons and this working definition of sin, may each of us consider, what are those things that I've allowed to take a foothold in my life? What are those legitimate needs that I have as a human, that I have as a child of God, that I have as someone who is created in the very image of our God? But what are those legitimate needs that I'm meeting through illegitimate means? And secondly, face with this reality, mind you, that we all have, let us ask ourselves, would I rather hold on to my way or somehow let go for God's way in my life? Would I rather remain entangled, or am I willing to share in the work of cutting myself free? Perhaps we might ask ourselves, would I rather dwell in the darkness of my denial or step into the light of God's grace? All the while, as we wrestle with these simple questions, let us remember with great assurance and great hope that God did not send His Son into this world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Amen. Amen. Friends, as we gather for prayer this morning, we extend our sympathies and prayers to the family and friends of Cal Schneider, husband of Marilyn, members of our church who passed on September 18th. We also extend our sympathies and prayers to the family and friends of Catherine Marie Yarger Mullins, who is the sister of Chad and Lynn Yarger, who are members, who passed on September 21st, 2024. Those are in our bulletin this morning. Also wish to remember those who in our nation are in the path or were in the path of Hurricane Helene, mindful of the loss of life suffered throughout our southeastern states, mindful of the destructive forces of nature and disruption to life that so many are experiencing, and the loss of power for millions. And so let us remember them in our prayers this morning as well. Let us pray. Almighty and loving God, you have given us your law, you have given us your way. To show the way, to show the path that leads to life abundant. And yet, O Lord, in our human nature and in our fallen nature, we stray along the way. We miss the mark that you have set. Thankfully, O Lord, you sent our Savior, Jesus Christ, who frees us for joyful obedience. Indeed, O Lord, through Jesus, we receive the grace that we need. The forgiveness that we yearn for, the cleansing of our heart, mind, and spirit, that we might be made new again, and that we might experience in this life and in the life to come the joy of our salvation. Oh Lord, even though it is uncomfortable, to face our sins, though it's difficult to acknowledge that we have fallen short of your glory, Lord, help us to do this good work, whether it is in our lives or in our church. To do this work, good work with you, of being set free. Indeed, O Lord, like Paul, may your glory shine through our needs. We pray for your Holy Spirit to walk with us as we ask ourselves the question, would I rather? Almighty God, we pray that you come alongside Marilyn and the Schneider family as they grieve Cal's passing. We also join Chad and Lynn in their loss, and as they grieve the passing of Chad's sister, Catherine. Comfort these families, O Lord. Assure them of your grace and of life everlasting. And Lord, as we gather ourselves in prayer this morning, we pray for those who have been in the path of Hurricane Helene. Be with the families who are having to bear the greatest loss, the loss of loved ones. Be with those who find themselves in the midst of nature's destruction. Be with those who are cut off from help or resources or power. We pray for the work of the church. We pray for the work of governments. Pray for the work of workers who will come to that region to restore life again. Indeed, O Lord, as we pray, we're mindful of your world that needs your grace in so many ways. And for this grace, we give you our thanks, for we know you are good. We pray this all in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand as you are able, and join us in the singing of our closing hymn, Sent Forth by God's Blessing, page 664 of our hymnal, or on the screen in front of you. I want to remind us that we had the time with Pastor Mike and Janet after the service to celebrate his ministry among us in the parlor. Invite you to that space after our service. That's interesting. I found myself reflecting on Pastor Mike's statement that his ministry has been all about reflecting unto others the grace that he has known. And I'm mindful that I am doing what I am doing, not because I have figured life out, or not because I have lived the perfect life, but because I have borne witness to a greater grace, a grace that forgives us, a grace that sets us free from our sin, to live abundantly and joyfully as a living sacrifice. Let us bear witness to this grace that we know. Amen. Amen.